podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Boxingvoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. Today we are back with the immediate reaction show to the Sean Du Logan, longtime listener here of the Boxing Voice Radio, versus the Team Canada captain, Angelo Hurakan Khabib, hailing obviously from Canada. The two met at Border Wars in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for the pre-fight antics for fight week. Fight was definitely action-packed and took place in West Palm, in the home of Kevin Cunningham and Devin Alexander, the great private gym out in West Palm. We had a great time, but we're here to talk about our immediate reaction on said fight and I guess where do these fighters go from here. But before I get into all that, let me introduce, obviously, my co-host, hailing from the Golden State, now on his own coast.
Dollar D. Beyonce Productions.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck that. Conor McGregor.
From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock.
In that knockout. When the main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
BoxingWiz.com. Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. Sean Du Logan versus Angelo Hurakan Khabib, for those who do not know, was actually the opening fight of the event. And it definitely set the tone of just suspense, drama, added intrigue, upsets. You know, we were riding, obviously, with our boy Sean Du, Team TBV. And it was a very tough fight. They were throwing hard leather at each other. I think both guys kind of hurt each other in a sense. Great fight. If you haven't watched yet, I promise you will not be disappointed. Go to patreon.com/theboxingvoice to go check that one out for $5 and up Patreons. But great fight overall, and it definitely set the tone for the whole event.
I think we need to jump into some of the comments. Longtime listener Coach Mitty and someone that possibly will be joining Border Wars number two felt that there was a weight discrepancy, a size disadvantage for Sean Du Logan. So we just want everyone to know that you know, both guys weighed in at the contracted weight.
Not on fight day, though, just to get that.
Yeah, on weigh-in day. Yes. You know, like all fighters do. And Sean Du feels he can do better in the rematch. And obviously, we're all over the place. We have to discuss this scheduled 3-round fight, which there's a lot of elements in this one, Matt. You know, like our other fight that we discussed, you know, certain things on the mind of a fighter when they're going in. Sean Du had it tough. You know, he's definitely Team America and definitely trained for 3-minute rounds. And his first round was a 3-minute round. And then the bell rang. During his minute rest, the rules were changed due to Kevin Cunningham, the world-class trainer of Sakio Bika and Devin Alexander. He felt that, you know, we should go to 2 minutes. And again, I mentioned it in yesterday's episode, whether or not this was something that had to do with Kevin, you know, being busy himself. He had a strict 4 o'clock close the gym schedule. So was it a thing that he felt the fights would be better suited to go 2-minute rounds since we were novice, or a thing where he, you know, had something to do? Be what it may, Sean Du was forced to adapt on the fly. Put yourself in his shoes. What would you have gone through? Is that a big deal?
I think anything upsetting a fighter's like mental rhythm, in a sense, to use, I think that's the best way to describe it, can affect the outcome of a fight, absolutely. But I think it also probably affect Huracan. I think Angelo definitely upped the tempo in the second round, and Shandu didn't. Shandu did not adapt to that change from the 3 minute, 2 minute round, in my opinion. He was still fighting at a 3 minute pace. Angelo Habib did not. He started fighting at a 2 minute pace. And I think that did have an effect on the fight, absolutely. And obviously, Shandu, like Enrique in some sense, wasn't the athlete of the group. Shandu rides a bicycle all day for work. He's a messenger in Manhattan. Plus, he ran the mountain in like 14, 15 minutes one time, I believe. He ran it three times one time. The guy is an insane athlete. His stamina is there. Does Angelo Habib have the better skill? Absolutely, because of the experience. But I think in a rematch, Shandu would do very well. And Shandu, given more time to train, also equals a much more dangerous Shandu, especially fighting out that southpaw stance, because he did tag Angelo numerous times with that left straight over and over again.
Now, you know, some would argue that a rematch would be no different because of the manner in which Shandu reacted to the blows. If it was a thing where, you know, it seems like the case that you're making is Shandu prepared for 3 minutes and, you know, his stamina is up there with the best fighters in our gym, and that's where he would have shined in the later rounds or in the later half of those rounds. But would he be able to take the power? He wasn't staying away to tire Angelo out to somehow deplete any energy or power from Angelo. So, I mean, does it matter?
Yes. I don't think Shandu has a chin issue or a power issue with the beef. I think Shandu has an experience issue. Shandu was in the gym less time than maybe even me, and I was only there for a week, to put that in perspective. So I think Shandu, given more time to
spar. Well, you know what they say, right?
What was that?
You know what they say, though, right?
What was that?
You don't play boxing.
That is absolutely true. And I think every fighter in this game, either from a novice standpoint like we do or the elites, they all learn that lesson at some point, that you don't play this sport, that you can't take it half-ass. Has Shandu learned that lesson? Only he can prove that. Obviously,
you,
I cannot speak into his mind.
Did you learn that lesson in your past fight with Nurse Jackie, or have you learned it now seeing this four-card fight?
I have learned it more now than I did with Nurse Jackie, to be completely honest.
And why is that?
Seeing elite-level training up close for a whole week is different than seeing it for a day or two from media events, to put that in perspective. I just think being in that atmosphere motivates you more. Absolutely. But anyways, I'm not the subject of this show. Shandu is. And I think Shandu, given six
months, that's why my name is NesGTO, because I'm always thinking so fast, right? So the thing is, you're the perfect person to discuss that, because Shandu is in your shoes now. You know, he wants a rematch. Public has to say he deserves one. Angelo now becomes the A-side, has to give him one, you know? So again, he's in your shoes where you were this time last year.
Absolutely. And you know, I know Shandu's on the line, and hopefully we can get to him. I know he's at work. If I had any words of like advice for him in being in the situation, is that humbling yourself is the key. Being able to put yourself outside of this whole show, the circus that is Border Wars all the time, and going like, I need to do this. I need to do A, B, C, and D to win this fight, and being committed to it. That's also another key. We all have other lives. I know Shandu has two or three jobs. He has a wife. He has other things, and I understand that.
He's
completely
expecting. He's expecting too. So let's see if we get to congratulate him now that he's back and he finds out what's what. But that is the difficulty. He's a cyclist, right? He's a messenger on a bike all day, but that's only one of his two jobs.
Yeah.
He was traveling from New York City to New Jersey to train alongside you, myself, Enrique, and Alex Doomsday. And that is the difference. Angelo, while he may not be overly experienced, he does have at least 7 to 11 amateur fights, and his day job is his boxing gym where he teaches others to fight. I know that right after this fight, due to the nature of the outcome, it being a stoppage for Angelo Huracán and Team Canada now being 2-0, America looking like they may not make it out of this border wars, and it turns into a clean sweep. But Shandu, obviously, after the fight, Matt, he was very vocal. You know, some might look at the tape and say, you know, he was outclassed, but why does he want the rematch so bad? What did you see that has you, I guess, I don't know, not fearful that your former teammate or your, you know, present teammate, excuse me, I'm saying not say former, but your present teammate can actually win in the rematch? Are you not fearful?
I don't think the skill discrepancy is that far, as some people like to say. I think just the in-ring experience, being used to taking shots, rolling with shots, being able to react in a defensively smart way while taking shots, that only comes with experience in the ring. And Shandu has admitted this. This was his first time back in the ring since he was like 14 years old, 15 years old. And they'd be thrown in there with Centron.
And he's 35.
And he's 35 years old. Be thrown in there with Centron. And his opponent, like that.
Wait, his opponent's only what, 27? 24? Yes. 25?
He's 27, I believe. I think Shandu needs 6 months of being in the ring. Because obviously, the one thing Shandu has an advantage of over everyone else that is a novice in this whole experience is his athleticism.
Yes.
Shandu is in extreme shape, extreme stamina. He doesn't need to go into fat camp like Jose.
He's the only guy that fought with his shirt off.
Exactly. And he had no issue with that. So I think Shandu, given 6 months of pure skill training, getting in-ring experience with the good sparring partners we have at Jersey Boy Boxing, I think that will equal a lot. Imagine him after 6 months of being there with Centron 2 times a week, 3 times a week. Imagine that. After 6 months, we're going to see a very different Shandu being able to take those blows and being comfortable taking those blows. Because, again, I don't think it's a chin issue. I think it's him being comfortable. And he when the instant that Shandu feels uncomfortable in there,
Wait, we got a correction. We got a correction. Wow, that makes a big difference. Angelo just turned 22 years old.
Oh, wow.
He's my age. So, you know, shout out to Shandu stepping in there with someone almost double his age, right? I mean,
not double his age.
Almost. That's what I'm throwing the word almost in there.
Double his age would be
44. No, 44 would be double, right? He's 22. What are you talking about? And Shandu's 35. So almost double of Angelo's age, right? Shandu's at 35. Oh, he's almost pushing. Whatever, bro. I was trying to make it sound sexier. It sound sexier. This is Shandu looks like he got in there with this young guy, you know, who could be his son. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you know, I'm trying to make my man look good. Listen, do we have the fighters ready for their post-fight interviews with the Boxing Voice Radio?
No, we do not. Shandu has not pressed one yet. Shandu, if you do not realize,
if you are ready, Shandu, whenever you are, press the one and we will go to you. I know we have Angelo Huracán's promoter, Bobby Arum, on the line. And we also have someone that the public seems to be demanding. In some way or fashion, they are seeking a Santiago appearance on the next Border Wars. I don't know, Matt. What are you thinking?
I think with the right matchup, he can definitely be on it. Or I think Santiago would be an excellent judge, ref, corpsman.
I know, with all the years, with all the years of tape that he has to know how to score a fight.
Absolutely. The guy has literally terabytes full of data and fights from 1950 on, you know, if not further back. Santiago is the human box wreck, as we like to call him. And I think we should go to him right now, Santiago. How you doing? What did you think of the fight, Santiago, if you have seen it yet?
Yeah, I've been awake since 7 trying to wait for the Department of Water and Power. And I killed time by watching the Shandu Logan fight. And, you know, tough loss for him, 2-0 for Team America. But hopefully you guys can show us more tape of, you know, America coming back to show us you guys aren't apt as it yet. Not like the U.S. team was in 2012. And honestly, I'd give Shandu a good good shot at the rematch because, you know, pointed it out, it's all a matter of comfort. And given that Sean Du at his age hadn't been back in the ring since he was like in his teens, it does matter, especially with all that ring rust. Like when me and Matt and Joe were helping Matt with the sparring with Fern, me and my buddy, you know, you could see the gradual progression of Matt finding his comfort zone in being able to, you know, get the sense of a distance down better, getting his counters off better. And, you know, I feel that with more time and focus in the ring, you know, we'll get to see a different Sean Du.
Totally agree, man. Comfort is probably one of the most underrated elements in boxing, being able to remain calm in the ring. That adrenaline, when it peaks or spikes, it really distracts you from your normal breathing. And that obviously causes exhaustion. And when with exhaustion, your defense just deteriorates. And when that happens, you get hit with those overhand rights or check left hooks. Santiago, I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, you've been in there with Matt. From a technical standpoint, what should have Sean Du done differently? Or was it just like our listener, Coach Mitty, likes to say, that Huracan was just too experienced for Sean Du?
Aside from being too experienced, obviously he's been at it a little bit longer than Sean Du, simply from an activities point, you know, because his day job, as you guys pointed out, is basically managing a gym, teaching people. So obviously he's still being active. He's not, you know, completely away from boxing, you know. You know, you could be, you know, an athlete, you know, where you run the mountain, you do the cycling, but it's a completely different thing being able to just step into the ring and, you know, translate that into, you know, the effort you need it to be, you know.
Now, Santiago, let me interrupt you there, because I had to find that out the hard way. How'd you figure that out? Because, you know, I said to myself, I was always confident with this Border Wars thing, even before I thought, I played basketball in high school. I played football. You know, I still play basketball as an adult. I can dunk. I'm an athlete. There's no way. And then I started to go to the boxing gym and quickly realized that all the working out I've done in the past, and even, you know, even the first day stepping into the gym, it's not like I had not been working out. I was still running 3 miles and still doing pull-ups and all these things. But I just found boxing to be a completely different animal and an exhausting event. It's not even an exercise. It's like an all day thing. I was not able to do both boxing and strength and conditioning. That was out. Like road work and boxing, yes, but road work, boxing and muscle building, almost impossible for me.
Right. Well, the first sport I ever did was baseball, and I wasn't the best at it either. And you've met me in at the last 2-3 parties, you know, I'm not in the best of shape, you know, and I'm not ashamed of that, you know. But I figured that out when I first stepped into the ring and had a spar, and, you know, to see the things that go through my mind, you know, when I was just there the first round, second round, third round, it was just like, you know, it was so much to process, even though at the time, I wasn't even doing much but just looking. You know, I was trying to figure out where to place my feet, you know, where to throw my punch, when to throw my punch. And, you know, because I've mostly put my focus in boxing, like, I suck at running, quite frankly. I could never keep up with anybody on there, not even that. I suck at running. I'm better at dashing, you know. But, like, you know, back in the day, I used to be really good at keeping my energy up and recovering my energy when it came to fighting, sparring, you know. So even if I would be dead tired after the end of the round, all I needed was that 1 minute break and I'd be back for the next round. You know, I used to spar 15 rounds. You know, I've been punched in the face. I've been punched in the throat. I've had my nose broken. I've been low blow before, you know, and all that. And this is me fighting 201 plus. These are me fighting guys that are 201 plus. I've even sparred a Marine before, you know, so it's no joke, especially when you see the difference between, you know, just you sparring your buddies and you sparring a Marine.
Santiago, listen, I want to thank you, obviously, for your story. We're going to get right back to you. Looks like we got our very own Sean Dulokin, the cyclist maniac himself. Sean Du.
Hey, what's up, Ness?
What's going on, brother? Just want to first and foremost say I'm happy you made it back safe on your travels. And, yeah, obviously we want to know your immediate reaction on the stoppage and the overall fight and just your experience with Border Wars throughout the whole week.
Well, thank you for letting me know that, you know, he's happy I landed home safe. And, I mean, as far as the fight, I watched the fight over and over by now, and my only problem was is not keeping my hands up. I didn't look comfortable. I looked all stiff, you know, and man, my biggest problem was keeping my hands up. I felt like if I'd have kept my hands up more, I would have scored more points, and it would have been a closer fight. I wouldn't have got stops. You know, regardless of the work I put into it, I know the amount of work I put into it, I still decided to show up. I still went through with the fight. But now I do know, if I, you know, you guys give me the opportunity to go to 6 months, do my training correctly, I can come back and I can pretty much beat Maracan. You know,
now,
I have that much
now,
confidence.
Now, Sean Du, I wouldn't be Nestor Gibbs if I didn't ask you the tough questions. I mean, for the dying public out there, the fight fans that did get behind you in the first place, how do they believe you this time? I mean, you're like Julio Cesar Chavez right now. You didn't get up for the biggest fight of your career, and you want us to believe that you're going to train harder the second time around. Convince us. Tell us, why should we believe you of that? Why shouldn't Harakang get another fight and move forward into the boxing universe and progress his career instead of looking back at a rematch with a guy that, you know, no disrespect, but he stopped you?
Yeah, I get that. I could totally understand that. I mean, it's all about worth ethic. You know, I mean, it sounds like I'm serious if you hear me talking, you know. And I gotta show and prove. I have to go back to the gym. I have to work on my skill. And I'm just going to have to put out, you know, a video of me working on my craft. And, you know, that's the only way I can prove it. I mean, words, you know, words, actions speak louder than words. So, you know, I can say everything I want to say, but it's actually the doing, you know, it's the 100%, you know, and I have to put my all in it, and I'm willing to do that this time around.
There's people out there like a Coach Mitty, right, who says, hey, don't put him in there. It's not fair. There was a weight disadvantage. You took his power. Do you think that there was a weight disadvantage? I mean, do you need him to be at a lower weight? I don't know. Do you think that it was, you know, not the power and instead, you know, it was you?
Well, necessarily. I think it was me. I'm pretty sure it was me. It's not so much the power. If I would have fought correctly and with you know, more defense, it would have just been shots that my glove would have been taken. And he would have caught me with some okay shots, but it wouldn't have been nothing serious if I kept my hands up. I mean, the only reason why I got rocked like that is because my lack of defense. And that's something that can definitely be worked on. The more sparring I get, the more training I get, the more comfortable I'll be in the ring. And I'll be ready the second time around, you know. So it wasn't so much the power. And at the time, I didn't know his weight, so I can't really say if it was the way he looked bigger than me. But he could have been 5 pounds heavier. And you know, 5 pounds does make a difference, but it was the lack of my skill was most, you know, mostly the difference in this fight.
Do you think that your power affected him and he felt that? Like, you think you going into the rematch, you know, is he just going to walk over you or try to walk you down? Or you think you hit him with enough shots where he respects your power?
Well, I think I pretty much hit him with enough shots that he's gonna respect my power, but I think in the second fight, he probably won't respect it until I make him respect. So, yeah, he will be. I see him trying to walk me down, but I have to, you know, I have to show him my skill. You know, I have to make him respect me.
Now, Sean, you know, you and I, you know, we're no spring chickens, and we always constantly have to show these young whippersnappers that we can still do it. But obviously, they're questioning the age difference. Huracan is only 22 years old. Is it just a thing where his reflexes are going to be better than the older veteran?
Well, his reflexes weren't that cat-like. He was a little sloppy. He wasn't that fast. So I don't think it's so much of an age difference. The only thing would be is if I put in 100% work and I get old in the ring, like right there. So that time can only tell, but I don't think that's going to be a problem. You know, but like the shape that I'm in, I'm in really good shape than most 20-year-olds. So I know if I put the work in, I'll have good results, you know.
Shandu, I know, you know, you're a blue-collar guy. You know, you had this big fight, but you're right back at work Monday morning, so I don't want to take too much of your time. I do want to say, though, how can you convince the fight fans that this time around you're going to keep those hands up?
Well, it's like I said, man, if I show the public that I'm actually putting in the work instead of talking about it, I believe they'll give me a second chance. And given that, even though I got stopped in this fight, I can see the people are, you know, looking at the potential that I do have if I have 100% of my training done. You know, if I go at it 100% and give it my all, I believe I'll get a different result. I'll get a winning result this time, you know.
Well, Sandu, you know, my hat goes out to you. I think that for the time that you put in, You did good. I'm assuming you relied on stamina being part of the game plan and being, you know, implemented, but going from 2 to 3 minutes, that probably affected. I hope that the people want to see you back. Let them know where they could follow you at on Instagram or Twitter, you know what I'm saying? So once you start seeing Shandu back in training camp, you know, you can get behind this guy and root him to a win in his rematch with Angelo Huracan that should be taking place if all goes well here in about 6 months. Shandu, any final thoughts in social media?
My social media is on Instagram, AftermathNYC. You can find me on Facebook, Shandu Logan, of course. And on Twitter, it'll be Mr. Logan. And I think Mr. Logan NYC. And I had a great experience, great time. Chilling with all you guys was a freaking dream for me. And, you know, given the opportunity, I will show the public I'll do it again if they want me to. And I'll give it my all. And I'll prove everybody wrong who thinks I'm going to lose the second fight.
Well, all right, Shandu. We want to thank you, obviously, for calling in, being a man, and giving your post-fight here live. And for showing that heart is for real and wanting to seek revenge and avenge that loss, man. Matt, again, you know, this is not sarcasm, but you were in his shoes at one point. Does he deserve the rematch, or can you pull yourself away from the emotion in this one? And do you think that Huracan needs to move on, look for bigger and better things? He had a big stoppage on his American debut. And, should he fight Shandu again?
Anybody can be beat.
I do not know. I think anybody can be beat. I think Angela Habib definitely won this fight for certain circumstances that I think if 6 months later this fight is scheduled right now, and these guys are training, it would be a very different fight. I think Shandu can definitely go in there and win it. Again, if you watch the tape, it's not like Shandu looked bad in that first round. Yeah, he probably lost the first round, but you can tell that his skill was there in a sense. He was landing shots. And I think that if he focuses on creating a better style for himself, a better defensive style for himself, I think he can do very well. I mean, he has a southpaw naturally. He has a great, solid left straight. You know, I've done some pairing drills with Shandu. I've worked a little bit with Shandu. The guy is good. His reflexes are good. When he's relaxed and smooth, he's very talented. And again, with that stamina and athleticism that he has, that I think are better than Angelo Habib. I don't think Angelo is the most athletic guy in there. I think Sean Duke can go in there and take it easily. Now,
Matt, with this information now being revealed that you did some drills and worked with Sean Duke, was that the reason that you chose not to partake in the interview because you couldn't emotionally tear yourself away and you knew that you would be biased?
Yes, absolutely. I am biased. Sean Duke is my boy, you know, like in and me and Sean Duke even talked about fighting on a TBV promotional card one day. That's, you know, we're tight, you know, he's my boy. Absolutely.
You have to be able to take, you have to be able to separate yourself, you know, from Matthew Hunter, the hipster, and from Matthew, the hunter, you know, because you have a job to do. But, we're going to get to some callers. We're going to try and get out to the Coach Mitty, who's not in the UK today, somewhere in like some Czech or something Republic. This guy travels all over the world. I just want to be a little fly on your shoulder and go everywhere you go. Your passport must look so sexy with all those stamps. Coach Mitty, where are you today?
I don't know why. Yo, what's up, guys? I'm in the Czech Republic in Eastern Europe. I'm hoping that the connection is good, right?
Because... So far, so good, buddy. So far, so good.
Well, all right.
We just got off the line with Sean Du. I know you missed most of that, but obviously he was making a case for why he deserves a rematch and why he would win a rematch. No. I know that you're very opposed to that, so we obviously want to get your take.
I'm going to be quick before the connection goes, right? But, what I've seen from Sean Du, I really liked. I even liked like him before the actual fight. Because like as far as I was concerned, without knowing his opponent, I thought that he was gonna be very comfortable. But what I've seen in the ring, I've seen him against an opponent that is too big for him and also too experienced for him. And you know, in that boxing game, you have to be respecting some of the rules. Like you guys have been saying that, like about respecting weight classes, and there is a reason for that. The guy looks like on par technically with Hurricane, right? But the shots that Hurricane was landing were affected Sean Du because of the weight difference. And, you know, the experience gap, he can bridge it. That's not a problem. Once Sean Du like has like another one or two fights and he now knows how to approach the fights like a little bit better, he can do better and he can just like, you know, maybe not freeze when the shots are coming, because that's what I think happened. He froze and he didn't know what to do and just go back defensively and maybe grab some time. But my biggest problem is the weight difference, and I don't think he's going to be able to bridge it. So I'm not interested in watching Sean Du in that type of matchup. I want to see him against a guy in his division that he can, you know, showcase his skill, like a proper 50-50 because of like the physical advantages will not be all stacked against him. And he deserves that because he's a skilled fighter and it seems like, you know, a good guy and he's a fair crack. That Hurricane guy was not a good matchup for him at all. And not because, like, you know, he's too much or anything. He's just too much physically, that's all, you know. And, you know, sometimes you have to put some of the things aside, right? Yeah, boxing is a sport. When it comes down to the street, if someone comes to you in the street, you can't just say, hey, you're not in my weight division, so you're going to go and fight. That's not a problem. But boxing is a sport, and we often say, like, you know, you don't play boxing because it's dangerous to put someone who is, like, too big against someone who's, like, you know, at physical disadvantages. And I think that's what, you know, the referee and the coach in the ring saw, and, you know, they realized that, hey, you know, you've got to do something because that fight cannot last, because, you know, Sean Du will land, but it would not have any impact on Hurricane because he's too small.
And Coach,
that's all.
Coach, before your signal goes, just let everybody know the message you sent me on Instagram early this morning about your potential weight classes that you're willing to campaign in on the next Border Wars.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, I walk around naturally at like 175 pounds. When I have a fight schedule, I obviously drop the weight during my camp. So I fight at like 160. I could stretch it to 154, but my best weight class is 160. So for Border Wars, I'm happy to do like 160, 168, and 175. And to be honest, I'm really excited. If you give me the opportunity to go to Jamaica, trust me, I'll find a way to get there. Don't worry, I'll travel. So I'll find a way to get there, and I'll be honored to be on a card with you guys. You know. So.
Well, we now that the tapes are out and Jose's fight went public, we did get contacted by a potential sponsor, and they're pushing heavy for the Dominican Republic now. So that's kind of the first on the running, especially if we're able to get a sponsor. I mean, because imagine this last one was like a $12,000 out of pocket thing. Everybody basically spending $1,000 for that week. So if we could get a sponsor to offset, we got to do what the sponsor says at this point. But coach, we would definitely be honored to have the coach on the card. And don't worry, contracts will be going out.
That's good, man. You know, Dominican Republic, Jamaica is all good for me. And, you know, if there is a sponsor, that's all good. That's great. But if you need me to contribute, like, definitely, you know, I'm open to that. So, you know, not a problem.
All right, coach. Well, we want to thank you, obviously, for partaking. We're going to go out to the UK and get a word from Rob himself.
Dollar D. Beyonce Productions.
Why the water so damn nice, brother? This guy has been perfect for like 8 years, 9 years. If water wants some of this work, you can definitely get my face out.
BoxingWiz.com.
How you doing, fellas?
Rob, I'm going to tell you how I'm doing. I'm going to have to download your fucking intro into my running playlist, because every time it plays, I start bopping. I start moving. This thing gets me hype, I swear. Even though you got somebody dissing the bomb squad over there, it still gets me bopping. I mean, I started bopping, then automatically Matt started bopping. It's like contagious, this beat.
Yeah, it's a good tune, eh? Good tune. But speaking of the... but at least you're talking about the original bomb squad, not the poor man's bomb squad that we saw the fight yesterday with Jose.
Oh, Canadian Jose taking shots already.
Yeah, Rob, I love it, man.
He's out of your weight class, Rob. You're either going to have to shrink down to Chris Algieri weight and be a nutritionist yourself, or you and Jose is a dream.
Yeah, maybe I'll just have to cut myself off at the knees just to get down to his height, yeah? but just want to comment on Sean D's fight. You know, the poor dude, he looked like a man against a little kid in there. The height difference was ridiculous. It would be like me against Jose. And I just felt, you know, he was trying to get on the inside to do some work, but you know, Hurricane just had the longer reach and the longer arms to swing, and he just couldn't get inside, you know, and he wasn't covering up too clever. I could hear, you know, you were there, get your hands up. He needed to get on the double telephone there and get his hands up by his ears. But he was just trying to work his way inside and just couldn't manage it. But, you know, fair play. He, like all of you, props to you. You all got in there and have done your business and stuff. But, yeah, it was just a bit of a mismatch, I think. Not maybe in... class, but more like Coach Midi was saying with the weight divisions and the size of Hurricane. It was just wasn't quite a good matchup. But again, props to you guys. You know, you've all stepped in and done it, and you know, big respect to you, really.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the face-off video, and I have it paused, and I want to say there is a height disadvantage.
For sure.
I don't know if it's that great of an issue. I'm trying to compare it to other.
Very quickly, Ness, we must admit that watching this fight on tape, it looked like there were two different weight classes.
Yes.
Now, in person, it really didn't. Yeah. Like, I'll be completely honest. In person, it did not seem like there was that big of a weight disparity or a size disparity. So that's why I think we were so okay with it. But on camera, looking at it numerous times, it does seem like Angelo is a much bigger guy, at least in terms of height and width and mass.
Let me get to Shandu. Shandu, I don't know if you got a minute for us, but did you feel that he was tall or too tall?
Hello?
Yeah, did you feel that he was tall or too tall?
Oh, hold on. You guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
All right. Yeah, the height difference wasn't that, it wasn't that that much. I thought he would be a lot taller. But it was like, you know, I told you, Ness, when we first spoke about it, if I can get to him, then it's fine. I was worried that he was a little bit taller than that, but once I saw him, I was like, oh, this guy's not that tall. I can, you know, I can get to him.
So all right, Shonto. All right. Now, let me ask you guys something, Rob. Gilberto Ramirez, do you feel that he holds a similar height disadvantage, height advantage over his opponents in the 168 pound limit? Because he's extremely tall, right? I mean, I just feel like height really doesn't. I mean, it does matter. Obviously, it gives you an advantage. But if you're the same weight, you're the same weight.
Yeah, you're the same way. I just, you know, maybe when you're talking professionals, same way, but different heights maybe isn't such a big deal. But, you know, you guys, you know, not professionals and maybe stepping in for the first time or second time or whatever, I think you need to know some sort of tricks of the trade and, you know, fight regular to know, just to learn those things, just how to get on the inside or pass. Maybe, you know, maybe the taller guy has got a slightly longer reach, you know, the longer arms come with maybe the taller body as well. So I think it's just the more Shondo fights, maybe he can work his way in there and pick his shots and get in and out a bit better. But yeah, I know what you're saying, but you're talking about professionals there, and I'm sure there's smaller guys in weight classes. They've got their ways of getting in and involved and making it a fight. But maybe it was, like you say, just on the camera, on the fight, it just looked quite a mismatch, to be honest. He did look quite the taller guy. And I mean, maybe Shondi was hunched down a little bit compared to when he stood upright in a face-off. But he did look a lot shorter than
are you saying that it's Team Harakang easy money for the rematch?
Oh no, don't get me wrong, Shondo. He tried the heart of a lion and he went out on his shield a bit, but I think he can bit more work. He can work his way in there. I think it'd be a competitive fight. Just a little bit more fine tuning in the gym, and I think it'd be a good rematch for myself.
Well, all right. Listen, Rob, I want to thank you, obviously, for participating, but we got to get a word now from the winner of the fight and his promoter. One of the two are making an appearance. We're going to go out to what seems to be Bobby Arum, Matt. Let's see.
Popping all this champagne, popping all this rosé, getting money like Jose, chain cold, your way, 41 step four play.
Boys, unfortunately, the champ is not here with me right now. Unfortunately, the champ is
That sounds like total disrespect.
Right now.
Sounds like total disrespect to his opponent.
It's not to his opponent. In fact, I spoke to Angelo. He is training his clients right now. Part of the reason of the trip and the cost is that we got to make money now to pay it back, and he's actually working right now when his clients pay him an hourly rate, so he can't really jump out and talk. But he did want me to first and foremost pass on his utmost respect to Shondo. He respects the guy. The good thing about being able to meet your opponent and hang out with them afterwards is really get to know who they are as a person. And all of us as a team, we all enjoyed Shondo. We all liked him very much. He's very down to earth, very cool guy. And in that regard, person to person, like Angelo loves Shondo, so I wanted Shondo to know that. Second of all, Team Canada wanted to congratulate Shondo. I think you said he's expecting this, is that right?
Yeah, he's under the impression that may be so.
Well, you know what, that's a great motivation, man. If you're fighting for your baby, man, that's huge, man. So that's something that definitely could impact the rematch as well. But having said that, I kind of got to side with the guys, with Mitty and those guys. And it has nothing to do with Shondo's ability or his skill level, but they're pretty much in the same weight division. But there's a disparity of years and years and years of experience and practice. Do I think that Shondo could do better second time around? Absolutely. But I always think it'll just be that skill difference will be too great. I'd love to see Shondo jump into a ring with somebody like a Matt, or like a Warren, somebody that's just as green as he is so that he can really show his skill set. I think Sean Du would box Warren and Matt's ears off, to be honest. Maybe that's why Matt wants to be all buddy-buddy with Sean Du, you know, so that he doesn't have to fight him.
That's
so
cute,
I would like to
Bobby.
See that. That's me,
cute.
The promoter.
That's cute, Bobby. That's me, the promoter. Trying to set that narrative up. When we all know, I said to Sean Du, if you want to fight next, I'm right here. I told Sean Du that. But he said, no, I want the rematch. He said, I want to fight Angelo. I was like, okay, then let's go get that rematch.
But this is where you know, TBV Promotions, Nestor Heyman Gibbs has to do well by his fighter too, man. 0-2. You saw, Matt, you escaped that 0-2 by the hair of your chinny chin chin, bro. If it wasn't for administrative deficiencies, you would be 0-2 right now. And then, you know, 0-2, you can't do anything with.
That's a joke.
I think Sean Du deserves a fight where he has at least a 50-50 opportunity to win. He's done that much. He went into a guy that has much more experience than he does. And I would like to see that. I'd like to see him have a fair shot at winning, displaying his skills, perhaps even losing, but losing, you know, the right way and on equal playing field. And I think that's kind of what Coach Mitty was talking about. Again, another great fight. As you can see, Huracan was able to show his skills. You guys could see, man, that jab was nice. You know, he was able to use his experience. And I think the time now is for us to look at other targets. No offense to Sean Du, but we're calling JD out. That's who we want. That's who we want. I put my fighters in.
Death wish that. For your boy? No, why would he want that?
There's no cupcakes. And you know, and Pepsi Cola for us, man. We're going straight for the meat and potatoes. We want to grind it out.
If Sean Du can land left hands at will, JD is gonna murder your boy. It's gonna be a bloodbath in there.
You know what? The truth is, and Habib knows this. He's a young man, but he's got to step up or step out. I told him, you're either in the game to win it, to be a fighter, or you're gonna be a trainer. You can't be both. So we're going to decide soon what it's going to be. And JD is that man that's going to let us know. So JD, if you hear me, and I know you do, phone's going to be ringing soon. And it'll be me, Bobby Arum, on the other line. And yeah, we're the A side, baby. Don't forget it. So that's what the challenge is. Again, it's no disrespect to Sean Du, but man, we got to see what the boy's made of, you know, we got to test his mettle and see how he fares with somebody that has equal experience to him. So hopefully the fans want to see
that. There is one more fight left on the card for Mr. Huracan. Let's see. And he did say in the post-fight interview that he was warmed up after this Sean Du win and that he's going to knock out Eric Cruz faster. If he did that, then JD would be a really good fight. I will admit that.
Well, you know what? I think it'll be a dance that we can't avoid, man. I think it's like you hear a guy like Mitty call in, you know. Mitty has to.
Now, why not Mitty versus JD?
Because Mitty's too big, man. JD said he fights at 145.
JD is like 175 easily, 170.
No, but JD fights at 145. I don't know.
You mean
the fight that I'm challenging
or 147?
145. No, 145. Like, you know, so. If that's what I'm thinking. That's what we said to JD before, and he agreed. But JD had obviously family commitments that he couldn't shake away from, right? So that's what I'd like to see. I don't know. I know Nestor.
I'm not scared at all. I just want to make sure that Angelo Huracan gets all your audio nice and clear without interruption, so he can see how bad of a promoter you are. You want to put in a amateur who you're not sure how many fights he has. Before this fight, you weren't sure of his height or his weight. You want to put him in there with someone that sparred Charles Hatley and Jermell Charlo and people on that level. I mean, you're almost crazy, kid. I don't get it.
You got to remember though, we're still fighting with 16-ounce gloves, and we're still fighting with headgear, right? If he's not able to survive three rounds with somebody at that skill level, then he's not able to take the next step, man. I see it how I see it, and I'm honest. You know, you guys say a lot about Bobby Arum, but Bobby Arum wants to put the best fights on for the best fans. And Patreon are the best fans, and they demand the best, man. And I know that if we match up those two guys, you know, we build up the story right. And
I think that first of all, JD's the A side.
Absolutely.
So it's
absolutely
cute. It's cute that you're putting out offers. But he's the A side, and he just has the name recognition. I don't even know. And JD's not in that weight class. What are you gonna do? You're gonna set up Huracan to move up in weight? Because JD, I mean, I'm sure the lowest he could get is 147.
I thought JD had told me that he could fight at 145.
What? I doubt that.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
He looked like he was 175 at the TBV Appreciation.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And in shape though. Because he's tall.
Yeah, in shape. It wasn't like he was like big or anything. It was in shape, 175.
He's tall. But I love how Jose is just looking right past.
Well, regardless of who it is, if it's not, I'm not looking past Shondo. I said it with more than a handful of amateur fights. It's got to be fair now. It's not, in my opinion, it's a lot to ask somebody, you know, to say, hey, you're giving up 5 pounds. You know, you're giving up 5 pounds and 4 inches. Pause. You know, so you know, it's just not right, man. Like, it's got to be fair, right? I believe it's got to be more of a fair equation. And
all right.
And again,
we'll see. We'll see, because I'm telling you.
In that regard?
No, it's not that I don't agree with you. It's just that we'll see. I don't know who I can fit on this card. It feels like it's turning into a Sky Sports Eddie Hearn show with the amount of fights that are going to be on this one card. So I just don't know if there's a spot for JD and Huracan on this particular match, especially one so mismatched. I can't have my promoter's license revoked just because you want to slaughter.
Well, if it's not JD and JD is truly heavier than that, then it's not JD. But I mean, there's got to be some listeners out there that are under 145 that have had experience. Because again, it's part of being the right promoter. You got to.
Well, not just every listener can join. I mean, you know what I mean. You know how it is. But we'll see what we do for your guy. I don't know. We'll see what we do. Like, you're a promoter, but I'm still HBO over here.
I hear you. So, Maddie, I think it's time. Maybe we look at I got to talk to Dollar DiBiase. I need a separate intro for my promoter side, man. Because the two are.
Yeah, you need to step up. You need to step up your intro anyway, man. I think it's time. You know, the luster that was Danny Garcia, and, you know, that intro would give people smiles. But I don't think people even know that that's him singing anymore. I don't think they can associate the two. I just think that you have they probably think you have really good taste in music.
Yo, one last thing as well before I go. I just wanted to let the Patreon people know that we are going to be having, after the fights are concluded, we are going to be having a one-on-one sit-down interview with Warren La Mosca Montilla. And he's going to be answering some tough questions, and we're going to be sending that to you guys. You guys can actually have him there for yourselves, and you guys can see it for yourself, man. Sounds good. Hey, if ever Warren has an opportunity to make it back on one of these cards, he has a lot of reparation to do, right? So the first thing he has to do is sit down and I believe, to the public, man.
We'll see, man. We'll see what he says. Listen, Bobby Arum, you're looking bad as a promoter, okay? First of all, one of your fighters didn't show. Second of all, your video crew didn't show. Then, you know, you're sitting here trying to get your A-side team captain slaughtered by a guy that's probably was a pro. You know, I think we still got three more fights to shine, though, too.
Don't forget, Ness. I don't want to give any spoilers up, but we still got three more fights to shine. So,
I have my commentator hat. I have my commentator hat on, and you know what? It looks bad for Team America right now. It's 2-0, looking like one more, and it's a sweep. The broom's out. But, Jose, let me get to one other caller. I want to thank you for calling in. Obviously, we're going out to Class and Bound in Texas. What's going on, brother?
Yo, it's been a while, dude. What's up? Hey, what's the news?
What's up, Class and Bound?
Man, not much, not much. Yeah, I didn't get to talk a bit about that Sullivan Barrera Joe Smith fight. When's Border Wars? When are y'all fighting?
We already did.
Well, we already fought, and actually that is what we're talking. We're doing an immediate reaction on Shandu and Harakang's fight. So if you're not talking that, we're going to go ahead and move on.
All right, fine. I didn't get to see it, but I mean, wait, so you and Jose already fought?
Well, not me and Jose, Enrique and Jose, yes.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, go to patreon.com/theboxingvoice.
Yeah.
I know that info out.
Check your messages, buddy. Or the show. We actually did a show on it, though. You can check your blog talk feed, your iTunes feed. Definitely refresh your subscription. Sure. See, this is why you guys need to be subscribed to everything, like blog talk and, you know, Instagram and all that stuff is all at Boxing Voice. It's very simple, but this way you don't miss out on anything, you know, because he said how he felt that it was such a long time, but we actually did a very popular immediate reaction show to the post, to one of the press conferences, the Mayweather-McGregor, and we did another Patreon-only Mayweather-McGregor one on video. So, I mean, there was a lot of things out there, and plus all the, you know, Border War stuff that we've been putting out. So, yeah, Class Inbound, I don't know. Need to refresh that feed. But
very quickly, are we coming back later with our
Yes.
Show?
Yeah. Yes. If you made it this far into this show, you'll know that I know yesterday I kept repeating we were going to do a 7 o'clock show, and, hey, I fell asleep. It's the jet lag, you know, all the flying around. You know, I woke up to 12 missed calls from Matty Boy. I wanted to go on. I woke up. It was like, I don't know. We would have been able to go on maybe 8 o'clock or 8:30 and just, you know, been late. But Matt was just like, save it for today. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to save it for today. So later on today, we'll have another show, Strictly Boxing. So guys like Class and Bow can actually call in and speak about Sullivan Barrera and all that stuff. You know, the difficulty is going to be finding the fights because I only have the Fox Sports 1 undercard, the Jamal James and those fights with Jojo Dan.
That's the only fights you have?
No, well, I have the Barrera too, but I don't have the Marcus Brown fight or the Omar fight, which I heard both of those were ended quickly, one in the first and one in the second.
Yeah.
So I need those fights before we do the show. But yeah, final thoughts on Shandu and Angelo Harakang and that fight. I mean, what could I say?
Tough loss.
All I can say is it's not looking good for the home team. Team America is now 0-2. Shandu suffered a knockout. And someone, Team America, I'm sure.
Technical knockout.
Someone I'm sure that Team America was banking on winning. Enrique suffered his loss in what the TBV listeners are calling a TBV fight of the year so far. It's not looking good for America is all I can say. So we'll have to wait to see what else is put out. But, I'm excited for Shandu. You know, I've seen other fighters take punches, and not want to come back. The fact that, you know, it was a stoppage, technical stoppage, and he still wants to continue. Take the immediate rematch. You have to applaud him. Because I know guys like Abner Mares who didn't. They didn't ask for that immediate rematch with Johnny Gonzalez. It just didn't. There's other fighters who lose by stoppage or knockout, and you know they go another route and they come back the tune-up way and earn their stripes again at a rematch. So just speaking rematch is big. It's unfortunate we didn't have the winner. I'm telling you, Bobby Arum Promotions out of Canada sucks. Cannot produce fighters, not even for post-fight interviews, let alone fights. I mean, why would you sign with them, you know? Unless you want, you know, your promoter dancing in your videos and drinking all your liquor, then you know, you sign with Canadian Jose and his circus over there, you know? Team America seems to have good promotion, man. I mean, their whole team showed up, and they fought. So far, what we see is two people on Team America have lost and made no excuses. None.
Well, they have.
Really?
Yeah. Come on.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Be a commentator. What happened? Who made what?
Well, Sean Dew's excuses are the lack of training, the lack of experience.
Okay.
And the fans will say the I'm not saying these are true. Or I'm not. Well, again, these are excuses. I'm not saying that they're incorrect, but excuses can be true sometimes. Enrique saying the whole 3 minute rounds to 2 minute rounds. I believe he's also saying, you know, that he actually believes he won it and the judges got it wrong. That's an excuse in and of itself. Not saying these things.
Damn,
are incorrect.
Damn, tell them how you really feel, Matt.
Hey, I mean, you know how I feel. I thought Sean Dew got technically.
I think you're doing a good job of telling us how you feel right now. You're basically saying that Team America is full of excuses. They were all talk before the pre-fight hype, and that's all that it was pre-fight hype. Because now they're 0-2, and they're not taking their losses like men.
I'm not saying that either.
What? It sounded exactly like what you said.
I'm just saying there's always two sides to the coin. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Bobby Arum is Matthew Hunter. No middle name because he's the commentator. No middle name because you're the commentator right now. Is he telling the truth here or what?
Well, you know what? I think there's going to be a divide soon, man. I think Matt's going to go to his own promotional company. There's already been whispers that he's already starting to bring in other fighters. So, I don't know, man. I think, you know, a little bit of locker room talk is spilling out to the whole world here. We didn't know this stuff, man.
Jose, let me give you a refresher course in boxing history. Have you ever heard of Devin Alexander the Great Promotions?
No, never.
Oh, well, exactly. So if Matt gets a promotional company, maybe more of the same. Because at least
I ain't trying to be a promoter. Hold on. Bobby Arum trying to throw out storylines that aren't true.
Devin Alexander was a multiple division champion, even though his promotional company never promoted a fight.
Hold up.
So I don't know what Matt's planning on doing.
Hold on for a second. Excuse me for a second, please.
Look, I ain't trying to be a promoter. I'm not trying to break away doing Mayweather. Bobby Arum trying to plant storylines that are not true. Have I also made the transition to being a manager? Maybe. I will address that on a later.
Let me tell you something. The only thing that you can do is do TBV West.
I'm Fox.
You're
going to get me killed?
Or, you know, I'm going to have to Dr. Dre you, B. You know what I'm saying? So, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you, obviously, for tuning in to the Boxing Voice podcast, hashtag TBV podcast. This has been an immediate reaction show to Sean Dew Logan versus Angelo Huracan Habib from the Olympian Boxing Club in Canada, who came across the border, traveled to Fort Lauderdale, then fought via West Palm at the home of Devin Alexander and Kevin Cunningham over at Cunningham Boxing, and put on a performance and produced the first stoppage of border wars in 2017. So definitely head on over to the patreon.com/theboxingvoice to stay up to date. Fights are dropping and you don't want to miss. We will continue to do immediate reaction shows to each individual fight and give you our review of those said fights. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO, and you can catch my co-host, Matthew Hunter, at
You can catch me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, and my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radio, is on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Facebook, etc. Peace.
Deuce.